Okay. Revelation chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had gowns of gold, crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had a face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." God's word for us this morning. You may be seated. These words, written by the Apostle John, sometimes called the Prophet of Patmos, indicate that in heaven there's going to be a lot of singing. Perhaps in no other book of the Bible, other than the book of Psalms, is there so much music. I've concluded that if you don't love to sing and if you don't love music, heaven is not the place to be. It seems the only exception to singing without ceasing in heaven here in this book of Revelation is the opening of the seventh seal, where it says in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Other than that occasion, there is non-stop singing in heaven. And it's not pre-recorded music like we hear at the mall or on the radio. Instead, in heaven, it'll all be live music. Notice in chapter 4, verse 1, the chapter begins with the phrase, "after this." I believe at this point, the rapture of the church has taken place. And the events in this chapter begin after the church age is concluded. Christ will have come in the air to receive his saints out of the world before the great tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18 and 1 Thessalonians 1:10 refer to this. Did you also notice in verse 1 there's a door standing open in heaven? And to understand what heaven's open door must be like, we have to know what it is to live in the Holy Spirit. We have to know what it means to be pure in heart and obedient in our lives to Christ. We have to be willing to count all things on this earth but loss for the excellency of the increased knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's intriguing to me. If you look at the book of Revelation from chapter 4, verse 1, all the way to Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, you don't find the word church mentioned even once. But you find continual references to the saints that indicate that the true church has departed from the earth. And it's significant that there's so many visions here that continue to the end of this book that refer to these recurring themes as the throne, the book, the crowns, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, and the victory of the Lamb. And in all of this, The central focus seems to be music. It seems to be the five hymns of praise that are recorded in the book of Revelation that start in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, and continue in chapter 5. Notice in verse 2 of our text today, no matter how disheartening life may seem, no matter how much snow, sleet, or freezing rain, think about it, right? God is still on the throne. John ascended in the Spirit to see and to be the source of all that will happen on earth. I think it's important for us to remember, when we live in a world when so many things seem to be out of control, that nothing happened in the past, nothing is happening today, nothing's going to happen in the future that is apart from God's intention. You know, God can choose to give His authority to an angel or to a horseman. And the throne that we see in our text symbolizes God's majesty and power. God is absolute sovereign as He sits on this throne. He sits undisturbed by the ideas and the movements of men or current events. And of course, God in His own time will begin a new activity from His eternal throne. Did you notice in verse 2 that the person on the throne is not named? But we can certainly conclude on the basis of Revelation 4:8 that it is the triune God who will sit on that throne. Verse 3 tells us that God's form had the appearance of jasper. Now, I'm not into precious stones that much, but some of you may be. Apparently, jasper in New Testament times was thought to be equivalent to what we would call a diamond today. And I understand that carnelian is red in color. This might refer to a ruby. Emerald, of course, is green. And thus God is going to show Himself to earthly eyes as one who's just enswathed by this halo, this rainbow of clear, dazzling white shaded with red and green. And certainly the rainbow conveys the presence of God's encircling presence and brilliance in heaven. Verse 4 of our text has been a problem for a lot of Bible scholars because they're not sure what this 24 means. Some think that these 24 thrones are representative of a glorified church. Some think that this is a union of the 12 Old Testament Jewish tribes and the 12 New Testament apostles as being a symbol of God's people in the Old and New Testament. But it's interesting that usually the word elder in the New Testament refers to a preacher. Other people think these 24 thrones are going to represent a distinct class of heavenly intelligences, princes of heaven, or various classes of angels. Will these elders be judges? We know that the elders are always associated in heaven with these four winged living creatures, and they engage in various acts of worship with God and the Lamb. But yet they're always distinguished from the saints. Some examples of that are in Revelation 5:8, Revelation chapter 11, verses 17 and 18, and Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 to 4. How about the number 12? How about the word 12? This seems to appear in the Bible as a number of divine government. 12 tribes, 12 apostles. And later on in the book of Revelation, it talks about 12 foundations. These thrones seem to be related to the heavenly powers in Colossians 1:16. And the crowns here refer to the royal dignity of those so closely associated with the throne of God. Some other references for that would be in 1 Kings 22:19 and in Psalms 98:7. And it's interesting, the Greek word here for crown is used as Stephanos, which was the crown awarded to the winner of a race. We see in verse 5 of our text, lightning and thunder reminding us of the majesty and power of God, His awesome presence, and the vindication of the saints. And there are also seven burning lamps. What does seven mean in the Bible? Seven refers to completeness, doesn't it? The seven burning lamps remind us of the complete, powerful work of the Holy Spirit. I know some of you in your homes, on a refrigerator, maybe above your sink, you have different Bible verses that mean a lot to you. And certainly, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. That certainly is a worthy verse for meditation. In verse 6 of our text, we see a sea of glass. And you might say, Pastor, what's the big deal about a sea? Well, usually in the Bible, when it mentions a sea, it mentions a time of turmoil or struggle, particularly even among nations. But you see, here in heaven, we have a different type of sea. We have a sea of glass, a smooth sea that speaks of the calmness of God's rule. And the mirror-like reflecting quality of the sea of glass could symbolize the fact that before the sight of God, everything is revealed. Hebrews 4:13 tells us, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Some people believe that this sea of glass in heaven will also represent the Word of God in its power of sanctification. And the living creatures are thought to be cherubim. Cherubim are found in the Bible way back in Genesis 3:24, again in Ezekiel 1:10, and in verses 5 to 26 of Ezekiel chapter 1, and also Ezekiel 10:14. And did you notice the expression covered with eyes? This could be symbolic of the exceeding powerful knowledge of God. I'm not much of an artist, but an artist could really take verse 7 and draw a lot of meaningful pictures, couldn't they? In verse 7 of Revelation chapter 4, we see the faces of a lion, a man, and a flying eagle. And these suggest qualities that belong to God, such as the lion, the royal power or divine majesty, the ox, divine strength, man, intelligence, purpose, spirituality. And the eagle has always symbolized swiftness of action, swiftness in detecting evil and executing judgment. Each of the creatures mentioned here seems to be a leader in its species. And together they embody the reflection of God's nature as the fullness of life and power. Other people who have studied this book of Revelation in detail would relate these creatures in heaven to the writers of the four Gospels. In other words, Matthew, represented as a lion, or Jesus as king. The Gospel of Mark, the ox, or Jesus the servant. The Gospel of Luke, Jesus portrayed as the Son of Man. Or the Gospel of John as the flying eagle representing the deity of Christ and the emphasis of Jesus being the Son of God. We have another number, a half dozen number, in Revelation 4:8. Six wings. We don't see six wings too often, do we? Usually, even when we have a helicopter, we have a rotor that seems to have two wings, right? Planes have two wings. But we have six wings in Revelation 4:8. Also, there are six wings recorded back in Isaiah 6:2 that give the impression of unlimited mobility in fulfilling God's commands. Their wings signify incessant activity. And these four living creatures are going to ceaselessly proclaim the holiness of God in a hymn. They will never stop to sleep. They'll never stop to rest. Sometimes when I can't sleep at night, I wake up and I think, why do we spend a third of our lives sleeping? But yet, we know there's such a thing as sleep deprivation, and we will become very, very ill if we don't try to spend about a third of our lives sleeping. But in heaven, these living creatures will never stop. And the triple repetition here calls attention to the infinite holiness of God. These living creatures that will never stop singing will celebrate God's holiness and His power. The question for each of us is, how do we celebrate on earth God's holiness and power in our lives? This is the first, in verse 8, of the many heavenly hymns recorded in the book of Revelation. And it's also an indication of the gradual enlargement of the size of all these choirs in heaven. And some of these words are going to be sung in heaven and, of course, enjoyed for all eternity. There's a second hymn in verses 9 to 11, but this is sung by the 24 elders. And when the living creatures confess the truth of God's holy deeds, these 24 elders will relinquish their crowns of honor because God alone, no person, and in the context of the book of Revelation, not even the Roman emperor, would be the source and sustainer of every created thing. It's interesting, these elders, they don't keep their gold crowns, do they? Instead, they cast their crowns before God. Why do they do that? I think they do that because they realize that God really owns those crowns, and those crowns are a gift. And the 24 elders will sing about the fact that we owe our origin and our very existence to God. Visualizing this chapter in the book of Revelation, I think it's mysterious, but I also think it's breathtaking. It's important to see that God is at the center. God is being given the highest and most elaborate praise and adulation that the human language is capable of using. And I would hope this morning that this scene begs us to feel it as well as to understand it. These four living creatures, they're going to be singing this unending doxology of praise. They're going to sing day and night. They're going to be joined then by the 24 elders who are going to fall to the one on the throne, who are going to cast their crowns before the throne and give their own voices to this doxology. What a marvelous sight and sound it will be to see this, to hear it, participate in this. Maybe you've been thinking, as I thought, as I was preparing this message, about one of the great hymns of praise, which is found in almost every hymn book. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Did you notice in that hymn, every stanza begins with those three words? Holy, holy, holy. And the lyrics are the words and thoughts of the two doxologies that we find here in Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. The holiness of God is praised because God is not like us. God is as of a different order. Isaiah wrote in chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is inexplicably different. And we're moved to awe by the mysterious difference of God. Holy, holy, holy has a line in that hymn that captures this thought. Though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. You know, when we're in heaven, we're going to be able to sing with those four living creatures who are going to repeat this doxology of praise day and night forever. We're not going to need that 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Once a pastor was a guest preacher in a church where they had bread and cup communion Sunday. And in that particular congregation, the usual manner in which the individuals received communion was to come forward to the altar and to kneel if they could, and then they were given the bread and the cup. And the guest pastor that Sunday was momentarily thrown off his routine of administering communion when a woman came forward, prostrated herself full length before the altar. She lied right down on the floor. And then she put her hand up to receive the bread and the cup. Now, this put this pastor in momentary cardiac arrest. He was shocked. But upon reflection, he reasoned that this woman was being more reverent before the altar than anybody who came up to kneel or to stand and receive communion. The pastor thought that if that lady had been wearing a hat, that she probably would have cast it before the altar. You see, the message here is complete surrender of self before God is proper in whatever way we are capable of offering it. These four living creatures praise God for his omnipotent power. And what a comfort it must have been, not just for the persecuted Christians of the first century, but how about the persecuted Christians in Nigeria, in Syria, Iraq, North Korea? We could go on. As they read this passage, as they feel they don't have comfort, as they feel they have no power, when Christians read this text, just like the Christians of the first century, they can know that the final chapter of world history was not written by any Roman emperor. It's not going to be written by any terrorist group. It's not going to be written by any dictator. But the final chapter in human history will be written by the Lord God Almighty. These perpetual singers are going to praise God for being everlasting. What a wonderful way to express this attribute. Revelation 4:8. Who was and is to come. This illustrates the concept of a God who sees the past, the present, and the future in one panoramic view. It's hard for us to understand eternity, isn't it? It's hard for us to grasp this panorama. But it's a great comfort to know that such is the nature of the God we worship. And that is something to sing about. Not just today, not just next Sunday, but day and night and forever and ever. I invite you to stand as we turn to number 353. Onward, Christian Soldiers, number 353.